Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts, and this is yesterday, as you know, you may guessed if you're listening to the podcast in order. So it would be yesterday, season 6, episode 34. So we're going to do 34 and 35 together and kind of do a bit of a bumper episode, which works quite well today because there's an instance or an experience which I think is worthwhile looking into, which is towards the end of Alma 58, but more so Alma chapters 59 to 62, I want to say. So I don't know if we'll cover all of it today, but we'll see what we can get through. So towards the end of Alma chapter 59, we read about how, well, in Alma 59, I should say, we read about how Captain Moroni writes to the government, to Pahoran, who is the leader of all the Nephites, and asks for forces to be strengthen the army of Helaman, which we've just studied about for the last few chapters. This doesn't happen. They lose the city of Nephihah, and then he is concerned because of this may be an indication that things are starting to go not quite the way they need to, and actually this may be because of the conduct of the Nephites, and he thinks in particular with the government, the leaders of the people themselves. We read at verse 15 in Alma 59, and it came to pass that Moroni was angry with the government because of their indifference concerning the freedom of their country. So there is a concern here from Captain Moroni that the leaders of the Nephites are starting to kind of lose their focus and starting to not be desirous to fight for their freedom of the people. And as such, he writes a very angry letter to Pahoran, saying a number of things that he thinks that need to change. Just some quotes include in verse 2 of Alma chapter 60, where Moroni says, "For behold, I have somewhat to say unto them by the way of condemnation. For behold, ye yourselves know that ye have been appointed to gather together men and arm them with swords and with scimitars and all manner of weapons, and send forth against the Lamanites in whatsoever parts they should come into your land." And in verse 4 he says, "But behold, were this all we had suffered, we would not murmur or complain." Referring to the fact that he and people like Helaman and his men have had great hunger and thirst and fatigue, but they wouldn't mind if that was the case. But he is of the opinion that the leaders of the Nephites have neglected them, and because of their neglect have led to a number of losses in terms of the cities that they were trying to hold. And in verse 7 and 8, we get some very strong words from Moroni, Captain Moroni, where he says, "Can you think to sit upon your thrones in a state of thoughtless stupor while your enemies are spreading the work of death around you, yea, while they are murdering thousands of your brethren? Even they who have looked up to you for protection, ye have placed you in a situation that ye might have succoured them. Yea, ye might have sent armies to them to have strengthened them and have saved thousands of them for falling by the sword." This is quite the accusation. And for a start, it teaches us about the importance of supporting and ministering those who are in need and being aware of other people's circumstances and difficulties and being able to support them. Because indeed, had they received those things that Captain Moroni is talking about, then there would have been a lot less heartache and suffering for these people. However, and I'm not going to read the whole letter because it is very long, and it gets the point across that Captain Moroni is of the opinion that these people have let them down. And if he does not respond and do something about it, then God will punish him. In verse 13, it says, "For the Lord suffereth the righteous to be slain, that his justice and judgment may come upon the wicked. Therefore, you need not suppose that the righteous are lost because they are slain, but behold, they do enter the rest of the Lord their God." Which I think is quite an interesting comment to make, but it's this the reminder that Captain Moroni is not necessarily angry because these people have died and he's lost them, because he knows that they will continue on and they'll be blessed by the Lord. But what he is angry about is that this has happened because of the seeming indifference of the people who could have helped. Elder Quentin L. Cook said, quote, "From the limited perspective of those who do not have knowledge, understanding, or faith of the Father's plan, who look at the world only through the lens of mortality with its wars, violence, disease and evil, this life can seem depressing, chaotic, unfair and meaningless. Church leaders have compared this perspective with someone walking in the middle of a three-act play. Those without knowledge of the Father's plan do not understand what happened in the first act, or the pre-mortal existence, nor do they understand the clarification and resolution that comes in the third act, which is the glorious fulfillment of the Father's plan. Close quote. So, yeah, it's heavy. It's heavy, the things that Captain Moroni is saying. And he is just... he is very upset with them. And in verse 21, he says, "Do you suppose that the Lord will still deliver us while we sit upon our thrones and do not make use of the means which the Lord has provided for us? Do you suppose that God will look upon you as guiltless while ye sit still and behold these things? Behold, I say unto you, nay. Now I would that you should remember that God has said that the inward vessel shall be cleansed first, and then the outward vessel shall be cleansed also." He's basically threatening Pahoran that the Lord has taught about cleaning the inner vessel first, and he's referring to them as the inner vessel, the inner part of the people, before they can then go out and work on the outer vessel, kind of working against the Lamanites' attacks. So it's a very strong letter, which puts across Moroni's anger. However, for those of us that have studied these stories already, we know that there's a reason for why this has happened, and it isn't the fault of Pahoran. And we also can understand why Captain Moroni is very angry and upset if he is not aware of this. But there is a circumstance or a reason for this. Elder David A. Bednar said this, quote, "During a perilous period of war, an exchange of letters occurred between Moroni, the captain of the Nephite armies, and Pahoran, the chief judge and governor of the land. Moroni, whose army was suffering because of inadequate support from the government, wrote to Pahoran by way of condemnation. Pahoran might have easily resented Moroni and his message, but he chose not to take offence. Pahoran responded compassionately and described a rebellion against the government about which Moroni was not aware. And then he responded, 'Behold, I say unto you, Moroni, that I do not joy in your great afflictions. Yea, it grieves my soul. And now in your epistle ye have censured me, but it mattereth not. I am not angry, but do rejoice in the greatness of your heart.'" Close quote. As Elder Bednar explains, and as we read in chapter 61, Pahoran responds back and says about how there has been a rebellion. And because of this rebellion, he has lost a lot of his strength and his ability to help the armies that are battling the Lamanites. There are people who have sought to take the judgment seat from him. And there is this challenge that has been put in front of him, which means he cannot help. He's not able to help the armies of Captain Moroni. Hugh Nibley had an interesting point about this and said, quote, "Why had Moroni heard from them long before? Pahoran immediately explains why. There's a state of complete crisis, not only complete insecurity, but everything was totally disrupted, communications and everything else. They have taken over the government, and it is those who have sought to take away the judgment seat from me that have been the cause of this great iniquity. They have withheld our provisions and have daunted our freemen that they might have not come unto you. They had blocked the way so that they couldn't come to you. It's not only intimidation, but they have taken over everything." Close quote. So it's completely understandable at this time, where there is, you know, not the means of technology and communication that we have today, that Moroni would not have had any idea of what was happening, particularly as they are reliant on people coming to them, bringing provisions and support, and also presumably news from the central lands of the Nephites, the government. But because those people haven't been coming, and that therefore they've not been receiving the strength and support they needed, then from Moroni's point of view, it seems, well, they've just stopped sending people. They don't care anymore. They think that we'll just get on with it and they'll just leave us to it. I want to reflect on this a little bit. Do we not sometimes feel this way with our Heavenly Father? Now, obviously, the circumstances or the reasons why we don't receive things at some points are completely different, in the sense that sometimes when we are in the battle of our lives and we are trying to overcome the enemy and trying to stay true to our covenants and overcome temptation and suffering and difficulty, sometimes we receive support and strength from the Lord and it helps us through our lives, and sometimes we seemingly don't receive that. Maybe perhaps we start to jump to conclusions like Moroni and sort of think, well, the Lord is not idle, perhaps, but he doesn't care about me anymore. He thinks he could just let me get on with this. He doesn't care enough to do something about it. Now, of course, the reason for why we don't sometimes receive the support we think we need is very different to the. That's where the comparison falls down, I think, because, you know, it isn't because the Lord has got a rebellion that he's having to deal with and can't help us. Actually, it's more the sense of, well, it could be a number of factors. It could be that we're not asking for the right things. It could be the things we're asking for are not the things that we need. It could be that there is a reason why we have to go through those difficulties at that time. There may be some strength or development that we need to go through with that trial, or perhaps we are receiving help and support, but we just don't see it because we are blinded by perhaps our myopic sight, as President Nelson used that word recently, or our short-sightedness in the mortality that we live in, that we don't see the blessings in the hand of the Lord in our lives when actually they are there. But I think the way we can relate this, like I say, is the reaction that Moroni had straight away, to be angry and assume that he doesn't care anymore, and so on and so on. So I think that's interesting to reflect on. It was just something I thought of as I was studying it this time round. But as we read that there is this rebellion, which means that he cannot do anything to help. But as Albednar said, it would have been very easy to respond back and say, how dare you suggest that I don't care? Of course I care. I care so much. And you've really offended me with the letters and the words and the harshness that you've used. If you only knew what I was going through, then you would understand why this is happening, kind of thing. And he'd be well within his right to kind of respond like that and feel like that. But Horan doesn't. You know, he says, no, this news and the suffering you're going through is really upsetting. It grieves me. The only reason why we've not been able to help is because of this. And you've said these strong words to me, but it's okay. In fact, I'm grateful for that, because it shows how much passion and how much desire you have to support and strengthen and protect your people. It's just wonderful. A wonderful response, I think. Elder David A. Bednar said, quote, one of the greatest indicators of our own spiritual maturity is revealed in how we respond to the weaknesses, inexperience, and potentially offensive actions of others. A thing, an event, or an expression may be offensive, but you and I can choose to not be offended and to say with Bahorin, it mattereth not, close quote. Now, of course, saying this is far more difficult than doing it, as often things are. You know, when we are sat reading our scriptures, studying this, and we know the full picture, then of course it's easy to say, oh yeah, you know, it was really good of Bahorin to say that. But in the moment in our lives where we are going through something and someone does something which really upsets and offends us, and we don't understand the full context, then of course it's very difficult to kind of turn and say, it's okay, it's fine, or move forward from that. But Bahorin is a great example of this. And therefore, in verse 14, he invites him to fight back against these people who have caused this great instability in the government. Well, in fact, in verse 19, it says, and now, Moroni, I do join receiving your epistle, for I was somewhat worried concerning what we should do, whether it should be just in us to go against our brethren. But in verse 18, he clearly has laid out a plan about taking possession of the city, sending forth the food that they then were hoping to send. And George Reynolds and Yanni Matson Sajodal said, quote, we may conceive that Pahoran sent his request from Moroni for aid, not without a prayer to him whose servant he was. Pahoran did not ask for help without giving his plans considerable thought. He had them already mapped out, probably inspired and in righteousness formulated. With Moroni, they could regain possession of Zarahemla. From its well-stocked supplies, they would then send Lehi and Tiancum adequate food. Yea, Pahoran confidently noted to Moroni in speaking of the rebels, we will go forth against them in the strength of the Lord, and we will put an end to this great iniquity. So I'm going to stop it there. We have gone over, but I was planning to do a double amount anyway. But I want to leave kind of the resolution of this and the end of the wars for our study tomorrow. So thank you so much for joining with us today, and continue to join us tomorrow to study together. And until we meet again.